All right. Good morning, Namibia. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. And good morning, my dear listeners. Well, it's a day after the regional and local authority elections. So how are you doing and how are you feeling? So, well, it was a very good day yesterday. Well, we do like what Namibians do. No violence, any violence or disturbance or anything like that. So that's what we are. Namibian, very peaceful, as we always are, and we should continue to be that way. But it was a bit, you know, it was a bit disappointing, I think, in terms of turnout. In some constituency, yeah, there were good turnout, but in majority of constituency, really, the turnout was very, very poor, especially young people. You were given public holiday. You were given a public holiday to go and vote. And what did you use the date for? So what did you use the day for? But the other thing really that I think something that need to be done is that voter education is something that need to be done, because I believe that, regional elections, you know, regional elections and local authority elections are the most important. This is the most important election for you as an individual. Yeah, the presidential and as a national assembly, they are. But you know, this one, you electing leaders that you will be talking to, leaders in your community, that if you need something, this is someone that you go to. And this is not where we place importance, really. So these are the people who will be responsible for what is happening in your town, in your village, in your community. If you want changes, these are the guys, or these are the women, these are the men and women. But there's less, importance that we place on this election. And I think ECN as well. We have to blame the political party themselves, you know, because there should be education where people really, so that people understand how important these elections are. Yeah, that's what's disappointing. And I put something to the test yesterday, you know, while we're still in the queue. There are people, I told, you know, I'm from Eagle FM. I just wanted to know the council of any party, but yeah, do you know who are the councillors? You know, before you look at the voting paper, do you know who are the councillors? Majority of people didn't. So, people have just, you know, they just got shocked, you know, this is the person. So, yeah, we should be able, and that's exactly that, we should be able, before even when you go to the polls, we know who are running for these positions. I said this yesterday, and even the discussion we had before Bishop Katenda. It's really, I've seen this for me. I found this regional and local authority election very, very, very important. For me, they are the most important. For me, you know, this is my leader. This is someone if I need something, if I need to complain, I will never have access to the president. I'll never be able to go to the president and complain. Well, in real situation, something must be really dramatic for me to be able to go to the president and complain. But I'll never go to MP and probably complain. Well, unless I know them. But still, that's not the area. That's not the area of my influence. So the area of my influence is my local, it's my town, it's my region, you know, it's my constituency. You understand? Those are the area of my influence. You know, if you understand the circle of influence. And this is where we need a lot of education actually need to put into this, because as I said, for me, it was really disappointing, in terms of, turnout, really. This should be the turnout for this, for this election should be, a lot. All right. So we're waiting for the results. I think they're coming in, and, what we did for you, for Eagle FM, what we did for you, we have a website where you can go to. All right. I realized that I was off. I don't know where now I was. I don't know where did I spend. After I've said all the beautiful things. Oh, my good Lord. Yeah? After I said all those beautiful things to you guys, you know. All right. So, now welcome. If you're just joining us, one thing I said I was complaining about, what is it? About the low turnout. But one thing that I can repeat is that we have, if I haven't said this, I mean, I have said it, maybe when I said it, it's when the timer was off. Yeah. So, Eagle FM have a website that, that you can log or that you can log into, for the update. For the latest election result and statistics and an update. So www.localelections.eaglefm.com.na. www.localelections.eaglefm.com.na. So yeah, that's, and I was saying that, you know, it's, it give you details, detailed regional result as they're coming in, updating you on the result and showing you which part is, you know, so which part is actually, which part is, it's winning, and also the result as they're coming in. So make sure that you make, you make sure that you log on that, just for your, for update on that one. So very nicely, you know, and also for local authorities, you can also be able to see the total seat won by the party and the result as they progress. So make sure that you log in on that website.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know, you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na longeshefa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moya wo, ota ingongo tisamweni. Anageshefa ya Namibia, ombitombwa na wa onjika. Seitha nina omayakuro ni randitoma yoye, yongeshefa yoye okupikiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende pimeneha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomoe programa letu. Moambo dengira soma konaraje tatuimu. Datundatu heari jamano tano o ambiyaj. Eagle FM, go high.
All right. Good morning. And if you're just joining us, this is Eagle FM and you are tuned in Unpacking the Day. As usual, today is the 27th of the 11th month. And on this day in Africa, we always take a look at some of the major event that happened on this day in Africa, on the 27th of November throughout the African history. So 27 November 1967, 1976. So you know what happened? You could look at the number and you actually signed the opposite of the number. 27 November 1976, the first sanctioned multiracial boxing title fight in South Africa. Now, that at Rand Stadium in Johannesburg, you remember those who are grown enough, you know, they remember Elijah Tep Tep Makatini, you know, a black Zulu storekeeper, defeated a white champion, Jan Kees, to claim the undisputed South African middleweight title. So part of the first sanctioned multiracial title fight under apartheid. Now, the event was a rare crossing of the regime's rigid racial barriers in sport and remain a symbolic moment in South Africa sporting and social history. And on the 27 November 1960, Patrice Lumumba leaves Leopoldville, attempting to reach the supporter in Stanville. Now, he was actually facing a house arrest and political isolation after the Congo's chaotic independent period. Prime Minister Patrice Lumumba departed Leopoldville on the 27 November 1960 in a bid to join the pro-Lumumba forces in Stanville. Now, he was captured by Mobutu's troops a few days later while trying to cross the country. An arrest that precipitated his transfer, detention, and eventually actually execution, and which marked a tragic turning point in the Congo's crisis. Well, that's all what we have today, really, in today's, that's the roundup for the 27 November on this day in Africa. What is our thought for the day? It is better to work and be free than to be fed in captivity. It's better to work and be free than to be fed in captivity. Now, the proverb actually warns that independence under someone else's control, it wants that dependency under someone else's control, even if it's kindly, often comes at the cost of dignity, autonomy, and self-respect. Now, the proverb echoes a universal human ideal that true freedom and dignity come through one's own labor, through your own labor and independence, not from being provided for at the expenses of being owned or controlled. So this resonates especially in contexts where people fought against colonialism, slavery, or any form of oppression. Now, the Proverbs highlight the importance of autonomy and dignity that comes from self-reliance over the comfort that comes from relying on others while forfeiting your freedom. So, well, So you go on with your day today. It's no longer a holiday. Please make sure that you go to work. So any choices that you make and decision that you make, make sure that you feel the importance of autonomy. You have that importance of autonomy and dignity that comes from self-reliance rather over than comfort, you know, that come from relying on others and where you're forfeiting actually your own freedom. So, and that's what we have done yesterday. So we're trying to exercise our freedom so that you place the importance of autonomy and dignity. Okay? So that's the exercise of democracy we did yesterday and our civic right. So, yeah, that's our thought for the day today. So, and what are we talking about? What are we looking forward to today in the show? Now, we have just the Guinea-Bissau. We have a story of Guinea-Bissau. Guinea-Bissau joined a growing list of African countries where military rule has returned. military rule has returned in Guinea-Bissau. So that is the story we're following. That's the story we're unpacking. And the government, our government's overdraft with the Bank of Namibia widened significantly. We didn't do that yesterday. I felt it's important that we go into that if we have time. And, well, of course, your participation will also be part of the show. So you are welcome to unpack this morning with me. So coming up is our first item on the show. Just stay tuned. We will be back in a sec.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Good morning. Good morning, Namibia. And good morning, my dear listeners. And welcome to another edition of Unpacking the Day. I'm your host, Michael Chiavelli. And we are diving straight into some important news unfolding across West Africa. Now, today we are talking about a fresh military coup in Guinea-Bissau, the latest in a series of military takeovers that have become all too familiar on the African continent, really. Now, Guinea-Bissau, a country already no stranger actually to political instability, has fallen into turmoil once again. President Omaro Sisko Embalo, who has been in office since 2020, was arrested by the soldiers just days after a contested presidential elections. So this military takeover is just the latest in troubling trend of coups that have shaken several African nations in recent years. But what does this mean? Okay, what does this mean for Guinea-Bissau? What does it mean for ECOWAS, for the broader West African region? And how does it reflect a growing crisis of governance across the continent? So let's unpack this together. I know there are some of you who have much knowledge of that area of the continent. So here's the situation. On November 26, that's yesterday, 2025, Guinea-Bissau joined a growing list of African countries where military rule has returned. Now, soldiers stormed the presidential palace, as we read and looked at the news. They stormed the presidential palace, arrested President Embalo, and took control of the country. They citing that there is a concern. The concern is over a destabilizing plan. That there is a destabilizing plan involving now both domestic and foreign element. So that's what the military actually citing, that there was a destabilizing plan involving both now the domestic and foreign element. So now you might be wondering, but why now? Why? What triggered this? Okay. What actually triggers this? So, well, The coup happened just day after Guinea-Bissau's presidential elections. Remember that. It just happened after the presidential election. A highly contested race where both Embalo and his arrival, Fernando Diaz, claimed victory. Each one of them was claiming victory, despite no official result being declared yet. So the result was supposed actually to be declared today, all right? They were supposed to be declared this today, and each one of them was declaring themselves as a winner. Am I on air? All right. So. All right, so yeah, so that's what happened. I'm trying to see if I'm actually on air. So, all right, now this now raises tensions. This raises tension with the accusation flying about election manipulated. The accusation flying about election manipulation, both within the country and from outside forces. So the military in turn declared they were stepping in to restore order, even going as far as suspending the electoral process, shutting down the media outlets, or the media outlets were shut down, and closing the borders as well. So the military comes in, said, we are stepping in because we want to restore orders. And what we need to do, okay, let's put aside the election, the electoral process, and, well, medias, don't broadcast, send informations. You might be sending wrong informations. And they closed the borders as well. The borders were closed. So the country has been, and I can tell, Guinea-Bissau has been here before. They have been here before. Guinea-Bissau has experienced nine coups or coup attempts since 1980. Since 1980, they have already experienced a coup attempt, a clear sign. This is really a clear sign of deep-rooted political instability that countries struggle with. So, and last December, President Embalo survived an assassination attempt, which is then, that's underlining the ongoing tensions in the nation political landscape. So that's what happened in Guinea-Bissau. So we'll continue after this commercial.
Great news! IMPA just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMPA? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. So we're looking at the takeover of the military in Guinea-Bissau since yesterday. And now the other things maybe that we need to look at, let's zoom out for a moment, is the ECOWAS. You know, this coup marks a significant blow to ECOWAS, the Economic Community of the Western African States. Now, Guinea-Bissau is the latest of ECOWAS 15 member state to fall under military rule. Now, bringing the number of countries in the bloc with civilian, the country that only have civilian government, down to 11. Now, the situation is already tense, as ECOWAS has been struggling. They really have been struggling to maintain this regional bloc has been struggling to maintain its credibility after several other coups in the region. There has been really several coups in the region. So, and maybe let's look at this actually in a, let's talk about this, this the bigger picture, okay? This is actually, if you see this, I mean, this is a growing trend of coups in Africa. There's a growing trend of coups in Africa. Why are we seeing more military coups in Africa now than we have seen in years? Why? I think there's some, when you come through later on, maybe you can also just talk about that. Why? Why are we seeing more military coups in Africa now than we have seen in years? It wasn't that long ago. It wasn't that long ago when we were witnessing a steady decline. There was a steady decline in coups on the continent after the turn of the millennium. After the turn of the millennium, there wasn't many. There was a little bit of decline of coups. But why are we seeing more military coups in Africa now? Now, from the 2000 to 2019, from 2000 to 2019, the trend was down. It was down, with only few countries experiencing military takeovers. Now, but since 2020, the number of successful coups has been rising sharply. They has been rising. If we look at the timeline, Mali kicked things off in 2020, followed by Burkina Faso, Guinea, Sudan, and even Chad, which so a military-backed takeover after the sudden death of its longtime leader, Idriss Deby, you know? So look at that. And then came Niger, Gabon, and not long a time ago, Madagascar. All in a span of a few years. All this in a span of a few years. And that's a pretty, you know, staggering trend when you think about it, really. Now, in total, 18 coups have been recorded globally since 2017. Since 2017, we have about 18 coups that have recorded globally. Okay, since 2017, nearly all of them took place in Africa. All of them took place in Africa, with one notable exception being Yama. I'm always struggling with this country. Is Maima or Yama? So now this tells us that Africa is facing a deep systemic problems in terms of political stability. Really. So there is an issue. There is systemic issues. Now, so what is behind this? Okay, what when we read now, when you read, what is behind it? Analysts point out to, they really point out to a mix of things, and these are things that we need to worry as well. So analysts point out a mix of factors. Now, one, widespread poverty in those countries. There is widespread poverty. Other factors like corruption, weak governance, and in some cases, inability of government actually to deliver basic services. So that's why we went to election. That's why we had election yesterday. In some cases, that inability of government to deliver basic services. So when you look at some of what analysts said, what are the mix of factors? Why, you know, what is behind this? Is, well, sometimes greedy. but look at generally, you know, what they found, it spread widespread poverty in countries. They don't see any changes in their in their country. They are really stricken by poverty, corruptions, you know. So they don't see a government that is really in charge, weak governance. There are no system in place that are, you know, that are strong in Madagascar. So now, what does this mean for ECOWAS? That regional body we hear about often in these situations. Eh? Now, ECOWAS was founded in 1975 to promote economic integration, just like SADC, and cooperation among Western African countries. Now, over time, it has taken on a stronger role. Now, that's now in dealing with political crisis, in also including the military coup. So the bloc stance on coup, oh man, there's experiences, comes in, goes, you know. What is going on? It's off and on, you know, it's going on and off, all right? So, as I said, this is something that first the credibility of a core is really coming into question, and the fight now that they need to keep up for constitutional governance, you know? So it's also important, you know, to think about the implication of the people of Guinea-Bissau themselves. This is a country that is one of the poorest actually in the world. Guinea-Bissau is one of the poorest in the world, with a population under 2 million. It's one of the countries that also have a very small population. For most citizens then, under the military rule means less freedom. Less freedom, less democracy, and definitely people will be uncertain, more uncertainty. And for the youth, you can just imagine, for the youth who make up a large part of the population in Guinea-Bissau, this is another blow to their hopes for progress and development. You know? So, yeah. And maybe if we zoom out even further, if we look at even a broader African context and probably the regional impact, is that Guinea-Bissau is part of much, much larger story. These coups are not isolated events. I think they are not isolated events. They reflect a broader issue of governance. I think they really reflect a broader issue of governance, of democracy, and the accountability across the African continent. I think there are really, really, really issues of governance in our continent, issues of democracy. Yeah. And more specifically, they are indicative. They are indicative of a failed promise, if I can put it that way, a failed promise. The promise that Africa would move away from dark days of military rule and dictatorship into an era of democracy, democratic governance. That's it. It has failed. The African Union, okay, the African Union, the AU, and the regional body like ECOWAS that we're talking about have adopted a framework to prevent coups. They have adopted a framework to prevent coups, and the African Charter on Democracy, the African Charter on Democracy, Election and Governance, for example, clearly condemn unconstitutional changes of government. We have it in the African Charter on Democracy, Elections and Governance. It clearly condemns unconstitutional changes of governance. But the question is, these tools, how effective are these frameworks? How effective are they when there are no real consequences for military takeovers? There are no consequences for them. They take over. And we saw ECOWAS take action in Mali and Guinea, imposing sanctions, even sending in peacekeepers at times. But the region is still grappling with these military takeovers. There are no real consequences for military takeovers. So, and I said, don't forget, let's not forget the role of external actors that has been mentioned, and why the military actually take over. So Guinea-Bissau's military claims they acted in response to attempt to manipulate the election by domestic and foreign nationals. And this rhetoric, this kind of claim, it's also made by other coup leaders in the region. Exactly the same kind of rhetoric that are made by other coup leaders in the region. So it's unclear who these foreign actors might be. Eh? But it raises the question. It raises the question, to what extent actually is external interference contributing to this destabilization? So there could be, you know, forces, external forces that are at work, that are honestly at work, you know, to stabilize countries that are contributing to this kind of destabilizations. So, yeah, and so where does this leave us, really? Where does the people of Guinea now find themselves at the crossroad, at the intersection? You know, once again, this is not the first time. And the bigger question remains. So the bigger question remains, will ECOWAS act swiftly and decisively to restore civilian rule? Or will this become another example of a regional body struggling to maintain a relevance in an age of a rising military coup? And it's becoming really a phenomenon in our continent. And it is clear that Guinea-Bissau's coup is just the latest chapter in a growing trend. This is a growing trend of political instability across Africa. So how Africa responds to this crisis definitely will shape the future of democracy and governance across the continent. Now, let's continue to ask the hard questions and seek the answers we deserve. So, what is your take? What do you think about, you know, this takeover of military coup that is taking place, that is actually across the continent? 0833-66-091, 0833-66-091. So you are most welcome to come through and have your say, have your comment, have your understanding of what is happening across the continent when it comes to, you know, military taking over. So they keep grabbing powers. Okay, so what is your take? What is your opinion? What is your contribution? 0833-66-091.
Omutiha kutekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo chikao shafaa sana nana longeshefa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moya wo ota ingongote samweni anageshefa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa onjika seitha nina omayaguro nilanditoma yoe yongeshefa yoyo kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House ngwe tuende pimemeha uu kakombanga nina kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa zetu moambo lengira selma kodara heta tuimu ngatundatu heari hamano tano owandiyaji Eagle FM so aya.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, very good morning to you. If you're just joining us at this point in time, we are coming to you live. I am Mike Osuveli, your host of Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. Good morning to you and welcome. Welcome. We're looking at why does this keep happening? We're looking at why does this military takeover coups keep happening in especially in the Sahel region, especially in the West Africa's block? Why does this keep happening? Why do soldiers keep grabbing powers? From what we have seen, okay, if we can look at that, maybe just go through a little bit one more, looking at what we have discussed so far, or what we see so far. So, yeah, there are three big reasons, okay? There are three big reasons. One is it's a weak institution, okay? Like weak institution, and we've seen election dispute after just a mission immediately after election dispute. I mean, after elections, you know, this is where now the military comes in. So, like many coup hit nations, that the one we have seen so far. Guinea-Bissau has a fragile, you know, they really have a fragile democratic system, you know. And like, as I said, like many other countries that are where we see a coup happened. So, as we said, this is not the first time. There were eight or nine since 1980. You know, so the election was already heating up. You know, the election was already heating up. Mbelo, the president Mbelo and his rival both claimed victory before the result even were announced. So when the court can now resolve dispute peacefully, so that's why I said, you know, those governance institutions, weak governance, when you're talking about weak institution, weak governance, you know, so because now the court now cannot resolve the dispute peacefully, so soldiers often step in, claiming they are saving the nation from chaos. And in some cases, that is very true. In some cases, it's very true. So weak institution. So we should be really, really, you know, when we have institution, independent institution like, you know, courts in Namibia, legal, the judicial, in our country, these are strong institutions, and everybody have trust in those institutions. It's very, very important, you know. So because, as we've seen in Guinea-Bissau, for example, now, the court can't resolve dispute in a peaceful way. And well, that's where now you have actually soldier coming in. So the other thing is also, as we have been talking about, it's ECOWAS. The ECOWAS is really under pressure. So remember when ECOWAS threatened a military action against Niger's junta last year? They did. Now, that bold stance is fading, you know. At that time, they have this bold stance, you know, threatening the Niger's junta last year. So now, that stance has faded. Now, with the Sahel states, Mali, Burkina Faso, Niger, forming their own alliance and ignoring sanctions, ECOWA looks very weak. ECOWA looks very weak. If they can't stop Guinea-Bissau's junta, so does regional leadership still matter, really? Does it really matter? So, yeah, that's, as I said, they are really, really, really under pressure. And it looks like nobody's listening to the Eastern Bloc, to the Bloc anymore, you know. And you know, the contagion, I think there's some kind of cool infection, you know, not infection, but contagion. So soldiers seeing, because what do? They see their neighbors take power. You know, if I'm in Guinea-Bissau and I see Burkina Faso did that, so the soldier sees neighbor take power, facing little consequences. I said, and there's no consequences. And think, why not us? Eh? Why not us? Why can't we do that? And since 2020, 8 African countries have fallen to military rule. And that's no coincidence. That's no coincidence. That is actually a very dangerous, dangerous trend. I think that's a very, 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 very dangerous trend. And as I said, research has shown that coups inspire coups. And we see it. It does that. And we see it. Yeah, and as I said, this is not just about Guinea-Bissau. And it matters also for Africa. It matters for Africa. It matters for Namibia. You know, we're talking about the ECOWAS credibility. So if ECOWAS failed to act firmly, most states may ignore its authority. Now, we also then have to think in terms of, it looks as it's far away, but we also have to think in terms of, will Namibia or SADC need to rethink how we handle instability in our own region? Eh? Do we need to rethink? Madagascar is in SADC. What happened? What have we resorted to? Eh? We kind of like, okay, rather than react, let's just see how this progress, how this goes. You know, we tolerating that. It's really something. It is not just about actually Guinea-Bissau. It's about, you know, looking at also our own region, our Namibia as well. You can't say it won't happen here. You can't say that it won't happen here.
A very good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Yebo.
How was
your? Did you go? Did you go and vote?
Yes. We have to follow the commander in chief of whatever who are telling us that vote is important, but no matter we don't understand. Or we don't know who these people are.
Yeah.
Because they never revealing themselves to us.
I went, what happening? The sound is too high. So what, I went yesterday, I was just talking to people in the line. I said, well, do you know I'm not, don't tell me who are you voting, but do you know the people that are on the list of councillors? And nobody seemed to know. You were all surprised when you see the list.
Yeah, it's what I'm saying. The democracy is not applying as it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this person cannot make my decisions on his decision on behalf of me. But now he have to be playing a big role once he come on the link.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, that's what is failing us in Africa. Because those are not politicians, those are a picker. That we're picking to representing the people out there.
And I said, yeah. I think something is missing. Maybe we want to also discuss the topic we're talking about. But yeah, but also we can comment on the elections. So one thing that I really disappoint me, and I think I realize, is that I always think that regional and local election are the most important, because I'm voting someone the one I can go to for the problems that I have in my community. you know, that should be the most important than actually the president, because I will never be able to go to the president
and complain for
what is happening in my community, you know.
Yeah,
that I don't even know the person. Yeah,
as I say, the democracy structures, it was good.
Yeah,
because this local. They were supposed to be represented, because remember, they are just on your constituency. They don't go beyond.
Yeah.
Mm. So they listen to your problems, you submitting them. Yeah. But if you look at how they were, their power is not that much, because remember when we were talking about unpacking Okavango East and Okavango West on the development project.
Yeah.
They didn't submitting anything. You don't know whether the people are not in need of something.
Yeah.
Or what is, or who is making those decisions. Because the flogging of this village council that are recognizing by the region, it look like the development progress are coming in those areas.
Yeah.
But we don't have these people. Then some they are said we don't have power. The power is on the governor.
Yeah.
Imagine now, you submitting your proposal to the governor's office, and the governor keep quiet. And you go back, because as you said, we were supposed to trust in these people, these councillors. Mm. They were supposed to revert to us and become friends with us so that we can addressing our issues to them.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, they say they don't have power. And this political appointee, which is a governor now, they have more power than them.
Yeah. Mm.
So because all those projects, all those complaints that people complain in their constituency go through the governor's office.
Yeah, and they have a right. Like the other time they said, we are the one who have, the people have voted, not the governor.
You see now.
Yeah.
As I said, these are the things that people need to go back to parliament and discussing about it. Remember when we were unpacking the on Monday?
Yeah, I know, I remember, yeah.
Yeah, this is story of the president using the government car to his political activity.
Yeah.
Mm. Those one, even on democracy, there is no such limit. The ruling president elect to be aside from his duty. And even if you look at it, in Namibia, for example, the opposition party also assigned the car, the official opposition party,
yeah,
assigned the government car to do his political activity. You see now?
Yeah. Mm.
So, which means we don't have any violation of any act. You can even approaching those judicial commission or.
But it's not only the ruling one. It's the same rule should apply to the political part, to the opposition as well. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. You see now, there is no corruption there, but out of on the street or the heart of our people, yeah, they said no, there is a corruption. How can the president go with his car and decorated with those bodyguards to the rally? So we're not happy because of this. But those people are assigned with 60 months to protecting the president. Yeah. So we need to go back to parliament and discussing all of this so that people there will not be feel left behind.
Mm. Mm.
So these are now the things that we these councillors that you are bringing to us, it's a shady politics. Because you were supposed to have a good time to introducing these people, even a political party themselves.
Yeah.
They were supposed to come with their president and say, these are the people that I'm giving to representing you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because most of these followers, they are trust their president more than the party members.
Yeah. And I have one thing I have seen. Okay. I'm looking at some of the results that are coming in. And if you look at it, especially in Rundu, that side of constituency, actually, the independent candidate are actually winning more. They are winning you know, well, the results are not yet finished, but are winning. I'm looking at the constituents that are already complete, that have already posted there. So they are winning. Then this ASWAPO member who become candidate, they are winning. Then the person that who have been put by the party.
You see now, that is what I'm saying. If we want to transparent of this, all of this, we need to communicate with our people. Serious, the party needed to be, all the parties needing to be communicated with people for us to have peaceful. Now here we are discussing the issue of the West African countries.
Yeah. So
that are falling in the junta or
trend. Yeah.
Yeah. The trend kind of thing that most of the military commission now or military whatever, they are communicating with the others that you are taking already over.
Yeah.
You see now, they are motivating others that this is not good to allow your country to be on this situation. It's not the same as we look at Madagascar, because Madagascar, the people went to the headquarters of the military headquarters there to ask them to step in.
Yeah.
You see, now they were forced to do that. That is different. But here, these guys, they are calling those guys, because the leader of that one, the head of this motivated now, Traore. So they calling him and said, what are we going to do? Because in democracy, every one vote is important already. But this president of the party, when the casting vote, they started to say it look like he casting 10 ballots. He started talking, I'm the winner, I'm the what. How do you know if you are only one casting one paper? So they don't be patient with the outcome of the election.
Yeah.
Them, they are the one that is motivating those people to violate Electoral Commission Act. So those are the problems that we have in African countries.
But,
you can't trust people are changing.
But if for let's say for example the military have legitimate and valid reasons that there are forces that are involved in destabilizing. Let's say for example that is very true. Would you say then that the military intervention is justified?
No, no. As I said, there is a body that be trusted themselves to be taken over.
Yeah.
These are not the will of the people. These are the body that is themselves seen for the reason of security of the country, we are step in. And I know one was happening in Nigeria in the time of Sameh Abacha.
Yeah.
And that is businessman, I forgot his name.
Yeah.
Yeah. The military rule wanted in the country to be in civilian democratic election.
Yeah.
But inside the military, there is somebody who say taking over Sameh Abacha. So now when the commission declaring that this businessman is the winner, Sameh Abacha said, no, we were supposed to wait in 3 days. We arrest you. You see now. So as I said, the motivation is from those who are already taking over their countries. And the Security Council that we are now fighting to go in the UN there, those West African people. We are not discussed, we are not sitting table with these military judges that, guys, you are not doing good. If you wanted to be a politician, why can't you step down from military duty and then you become a civilian? So those are the things that, as I said, in Africa, we like to view other things that we do not yet understand it. Because Security Council is there for some. That's why America itself, with that 51 states, think that they are the one that protects the world.
And when you're looking at that in a broader picture, I mean, in a broader sense, implication is that when we're talking about the continental free trade area, you know, this would be, you know, hurdles that actually, you know, get in the way of what overall these plans are. You understand? Yeah. No, you can't.
And that is, if you yourself or the people you,
yeah.
you ask them a public day, or you guaranteed them a public day, but there is no change. That is where we are failing Africans.
Yeah.
Okay, Mike.
Thanks, man. Thanks for coming through. Yeah.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right. Our 3336091. You're welcome. You can comment on the elections, or you can comment on the topic that we're discussing. The African coups reflect a deep frustration with corruption, frustration of unemployment, frustration of leaders clinging to power, you know. But does the military rule fix that? Does it fix that? History, as you say, no. Juntas rarely deliver stability. They rarely deliver stability. Just look at Sudan. Just look at Mali, you know. They rarely deliver stability, you know. So, but we also need to look at this from the human point of view, the human cost, you know. What does this bring? Coup brings violence. It brings closed borders. It brings economic, it freezes the economy. It freezes economic activities, you know. And Guinea-Bissau, for example, is already one of the world's poorest nations. So ordinary people suffer most. No, the politicians don't. Yeah? Politicians don't. They are the ones who make, you know, make millions and millions out of that. So, yeah. So I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. Is military intervention ever justified? Is it ever justified? All right. Should ECOWAS use force to reverse the coups or focus on diplomacy? All right. Very good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Fine, thank you.
Yeah.
So I'm not so sure they're really getting a stability.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just silencing the people because they have got guns. So people can have that fear, and it's true.
Yeah.
Anybody that attempts to voice, to hear his voice or her voice or whatever, they can seriously be silenced.
Exactly. I mean, so even if you some way oppose what the junta is doing, they can easily kill you.
Yeah, but what, yeah. You can't come out and say no. Democracy again, come out from that thing. No. All you can do is just to shoot you down and kill you.
Yeah.
So that fear may suppress the will of the people.
Yeah.
Of course, now when the demonstration and rioting and all these things, sometimes that's why they're calling the army, the police, the army, and all these armed forces. But
where do you think this trend is coming from? Where is this trend coming from? Really, where this of coup, especially in the Western African countries?
Yeah, it doesn't really lead to true development and the values of democracy and human rights. All those principles might just be compromised.
Yeah,
and it's true. Okay, that stability. Maybe if they have taken over because people are rioting, like in the case where you, the brother mentioned there.
Where you can call in the military to stabilize the situation, yeah, that's something else. But where they
take over
the governance, that's a whole different game, yeah.
Yeah, it's true, but I don't see that stability as something sustainable.
Yeah.
Because, I don't see it sustainable, or it really leads to everlasting peace.
Mm.
So So one of the coup that has happened when Babangida who took over in Nigeria through that. So it is it just happened, and you know that before election again takes place, a lot of things could happen. But I don't know why can't they organize themselves as military councils and all come together with all these other nations and wipe away those militias and rebels and all those what? Those who are killing people in West Africa, like in Nigeria. And many, many other parts of the
Uncle Bona, this also country. Make us, this also make us, like we had an election yesterday, this also make us appreciate, you know, the stability in this country and the rule of law in a country like Namibia.
Your telephone is cutting. I'm not getting you very well.
Oh, you're not getting me?
Sometimes I get you, sometimes I don't.
Oh, no, no, no. I was saying this, this make us appreciate more, the, what, like what we did yesterday, have election and, the rule of law in a country like Namibia.
Yeah. Yes. It's very important to observe those values and, promote them. Our democracy is very young, and it requires a lot of hands in terms of really putting up it up there. What we are doing currently is very good, and you can also see something very commendable. Many countries are also learning from us. I know even though we are a small economy, but I think in the long run, the military takeover and things like that is not, it's not the culture. It's not a democratic culture anymore. It is really by silencing and a lot of things can happen. If say people start demonstrating now against the military rule, so what will then happen? They pronounce that martial law. So, and it's, you know, it really suppresses a lot of democratic issue process and the whole benefits and things like that. So I really don't know West Africa. And you see, some of those things are really planned. Like we were talking about South Africa and how the security agents really try to, I mean, have made great efforts. To arrest and bring those people who have been penetrated in the judicial, their criminal judicial system. And I was also reading here, that's how they begin. You have heard of a prosecutor who was attacked. Someone in Dava there. And you really need to speak out all those issues so that things don't become worse. And these are criminals, agents that are planted there to stabilize the peace and the order and the rule of law that you're talking about to apply. So these are serious issues that we need to, wherever we are planting our security cluster, must be seriously strengthened, and then you make sure that those things don't happen. Yes, they are really causing havoc. And it's actually those who are there to preserve the law, the order, judicial order. And they are the ones who are targeted. Can you see how criminality is coming into that area? So I think the military and all these other things, just like in Ukraine, Ukraine's president apparently also took over by military. And they were supported by the Western. Usually they don't support military coup and all these things. They do come out and make a lot of noise. But in Ukraine, because their target was Russia and all these things, they just kept quiet and they keep on supporting somebody who was taking the government by force. Can you see now the double standard?
Yeah, and that's a challenge for a regional bloc like ECOWAS now, you know, because they are really under pressure, you know, in dealing with this. Yeah.
Yeah, they are under pressure, but you see the Western, they are also there. Like I give an example of Ukraine.
Yeah.
So he has taken over, but have you heard many voices and say no, you cannot take over or overthrow the elected government, like democratic elected government.
Mm.
But instead, condemning that, they were now to put in the military equipment and all their capabilities to make sure that they get through to Russia.
Yeah.
Have you heard them complaining? Even the human defenders organization and all human rights and all this other thing, they might not have that much power, like I said, in the military. They will silence you.
Yeah.
So it's really things are changing through this multilateralism and the way people are now preaching about the global peace. So I think most of those things will also come. And we are organizing also. People are myself just organize themselves and make sure that the silencing of the gun and all those bandits that are killing people in West Africa and all over there,
yeah,
they must come and all these things, of course. They must put themselves together. But the ECOWAS more is, it has been more on the economic, not really in the military kind of focus. But I think they can wake up and do some few things.
Yeah, no, later they incorporated a component on securities as well. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
So thank you very much.
Thank you for coming through. All right. 08333 66091. We come in to you live from the Ondangwa studio. All right. So, all right. Yeah. So just, you can come through. You're most welcome to come through, and whether it's on election, you want to comment on the election. I nearly said erection. whether it's on the election, that's a problem being a Kwanyama, you know? So whether it's on the election or on the issue of Guinea-Bissau. So yeah. So yeah, maybe one thing that we can take the key takeaway from our discussion this morning, the Guinea-Bissau's coup is another symptom. I think it's another symptom of Africa governance crisis, like the two callers also indicated. So yeah, weak elections, frustrated citizens. You could also have ambitious, you know, as earlier on some of the earlier callers said, ambitious soldiers that you have that. You know, this would now, in this situation, it created a perfect, you know, a perfect opportunity. And they take that opportunity. They bounce on this opportunity. So ECOWA must decide, will it regain control or watch more states slip away? You know, we have already quite a number of states that are slipping away from ECOWAS. And for us in Namibia, it's a reminder, democracy is fragile. Democracy is fragile. It needs strong institutions. Not necessarily strong men, but strong institutions. So, yeah. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Imbaya rire ombo nai etetaweza kwa ombu nikiro ombe ombi hukusha onjiviro yoye irire ombupu o hatane na wina ikare na masa kumurungu wa indu Weriro ngere kusha umune ondengu okuura kwa imba Una ovi unedia peke kwa rondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe Stoo, twika ovinki na kukara noruta ondando ya peke yopia nja oshimariva Owa presente dano kumyeze vitatu na oshimariva Owa presente umurongo kumyeze hambu umwe moshimariva Owa presente umurongo ivari na dano Kumyeze umurongo na ivari na oshimariva Ito alorela ondengu jima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyangu kite Ashiesho imba ye kupe oshimariva shishihina omarifiro Imba o maoronga neno uyegu haka enina itako na wina rishangita jinon
A very good morning
Just 2 seconds I wanted to add in for this military, how they hit the economy.
Yeah.
If you read the history of Cuba, we're more understanding how they hit the economy. Cuba was independent economy before the revolution.
Yeah.
And then those guys, Fidel Castro, when they took over, all assets that were in that country, whether it's for the civilian or whatever, the local or for the foreigner,
yeah,
was taken by them. This is the fear that can be happened for the investors, FDI, to investing in our country.
Yeah.
If things are going like this. That's the only thing I want to remind people, that we must be careful when we are taking this up, motivating those violent or whatever it is.
Mm.
So because it's not easy. It's taking years. Because if you look at the commodity of Cuba, they are stealing one of the top 10 commodities that is needed by the world.
Yeah.
Economy there. Or whatever. But it's not easy to get that thing from the Cuban.
Yeah.
They are just smuggling it.
Because of sanctions as well. Yeah.
Because of sanctions. Mm. Yeah. Sanction was caused because of the Ghana independent rule. You see now.
Man.
So those are the problems that we may end up African, West African countries starving more because there are no humanitarian to support them,
exactly,
to support the citizens. So those are the problems that we are causing. And that's why I'm appealing for this African Union to sit with this military juntas and discussing the issue. What is really the benefit of the people when there is this, such as the military government?
Yeah, because it's becoming like a fashion.
Yes, it's what I'm saying. It's a fashion because of Traoré. It's a fashion because of Traoré. But they think Traoré, when he's choosing Russia, he's doing good. But he got also this investment from Russia. And the Russia, they get it back. Because they are sending soldiers, they are sending weapons, they are, what is those?
Yeah.
So, Mike, let me not taking up the whole time of others.
It's all right, man. Thanks for coming through again. Yeah. Mm. 08333 66091. So, is military intervention, is military intervention ever justified? We're talking about now in terms of, coups that we see, especially in Western Africa, that is taking a place left and right. So, and should ECOWA, should now this regional bloc, should they use force to reverse those situations? Or should we actually use diplomacy, focus on diplomacy? And let's debate. 08333 66091. What is your take? What is your opinion?
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. And a very good morning to you if you actually just joining us. So, we have been looking at the situation that it's taking place, has took place or taking place, still taking place in Guinea-Bissau, where the military have taken over the country, citing that, you know, there are forces that want to destabilize the country, and they decided to step in and make sure that doesn't happen. That's what they're saying. So, yeah, the president of the country is detained. Nobody knows exactly where he is. He could as well be dead, you know. So, but he's detained with some senior officials, government senior officials. Yeah. So, yeah, we're looking at that in a broader picture, if you like, you know. So why this is actually matter? Is this matter to Africa? You know, is that matter to Namibia? There are things that we can appreciate in Namibia, actually looking at sometime what is happening in other countries. Yeah, but, you know, as we said, the Africa's coups reflect deeper issues. It reflects corruption, it reflects unemployment, it reflects, you know, leaders clinging to power, all these kind of things, you know. But then, is the military the answer? Yeah? Is the military the answer? So, yeah, those are some of the question is, you know, and does the juntas really deliver stability? Okay? And we can look, we have example, we have Mali, we have Sudan, yeah? So do they deliver stability? So those are some of the questions. And why does this trend grows? Why it becoming a common trend? That was, you know, some years ago, something that was, you know, slowly was dying, but now it's becoming a trend again, especially in Western Africa. So, yeah, no, those are some of the issues that maybe we need to look at seriously, or maybe that we need to discuss or debate, wherever we find ourselves. And how do we develop? You know, how do we talk about the Africa continental free trade areas? How do we talk about cross-border trade? When things like this happen? When we still issues of this kind in our continent. So we are far from, you know, these are talk on paper, but in reality, you know, we are far from that, you know. So what need to be done? So what need to be done? You know, institutions are weak. You know, we talk AU, the COAS, you know, and other regional blocks. So they are weak, you know. 0833-66-091 if you want to comment on that one. All right. So let's get home. Let's come back home. We have our own issues that we need to deal with as well. Yeah, so let's get back to our own issues here. That we need to talk about. So we need to look at how our government, you know, manage its money, ultimately how that also affect your money, your job, and your futures as well. So we have the government, our government overdraft. We have the update that could actually, you know, signal a shift in Namibia's financial, you know, landscape, if you want. So in October, our government's overdraft with the Bank of Namibia widened significantly. And we need to understand what does this mean for all of us. Okay? All right. So why it's happening? So maybe looking at why it's happening, why this is happening, what's behind this shift, and more importantly, what does it mean? What does it mean for you and me? And that's what we look at most of the time. Let's get into it. Now, maybe let me give you a picture. Okay. Imagine I'm trying to put that in a simpler way that you and I can understand. But some of you are better in finance. Now, imagine you have a big loan. Okay. I'm just going to paint that picture for you. So imagine you have a big loan, from a bank overseas. You know, I was giving this yesterday. I couldn't finish this whole thing. So you have been saving up, in a special account. So what was the name of the account? Let's say, you know, we call this a sinking fund. Actually, that's the name that can be used in the bank. So yeah, it's a sinking fund now to pay it off. So you have been saving, you've been saving up in this sinking fund, to be able to pay it off. So the day comes, you make the final payment, and well, definitely you feel great, like we did. You know, we feel great, we're debt free, you know. But then you look in your everyday, you know, your current account or your everyday wallet and realize it's really looking empty. So now how do I pay my groceries, my fuel, my bills? You know, you now have to dip into your overdraft facility. So you have to get into your overdraft facility at your local bank. That is essentially now what the government actually has done. They proudly, correctly paid off that massive euro bond. And it was a huge achievement. The largest debt payment in our history. So, of course, it boosts our international reputation, tells the world Namibia is good for its money. Okay? So, but that money to pay it off had to come from somewhere. You know, a large chunk came from that saving account, the sinking fund that I was talking earlier. But some of it had to be covered by borrowing more money right here at home. So now the Bank of Namibia balance sheet shows this clearly. Okay? The government overdraft widened nearly negative $1.5 billion. You know, a billion Namibian dollars. So at the same time, the central bank total assets shrank. So it shrank. Why? Because they used foreign currency reserves. They used foreign currency reserves and sold off some investment like South African rand, you know, to help now gather the cash for the Eurobond payment. So on one hand, we have reduced our foreign debt, which is positive strategic move. It's a positive strategic move. On the other hand, we have increased our domestic debt. So we essentially move the debt from one pocket to another. You know, we move it from the foreign pocket to a local, you know, to domestic pocket. So, but the critical question is the debt in the new pocket more expensive? Is it more expensive? We have to understand the government's strategy, you know, the bigger picture. So the government's strategy, as they have stated it, you know, is to reduce our exposure to foreign exchange fluctuations. Okay. Now, if Namibian dollar weakens, foreign debt becomes more expensive to repay. You understand? So shifting to domestic debt can be a shield against that risk. So it's actually a prudent move in that sense. Okay. Now, however, the other side of the coin is the cost of borrowing at home. What is the cost of borrowing at home? When the government borrows more from local banks and domestic market, you remember something that we discussed some other time with even Mr. Shade. It's the government now, it's competing with you. It's competing with you and me and with our business, with our local businesses for that same pool of money. For that same pool of money. So now this, for that very same pool of money, so this can push interest rate. That can push interest rate. It makes it more expensive now for a young couple in Windhoek to get a mortgage, for example. So it make harder for entrepreneur in here, maybe in here in Ondangwa, to get a loan to expand their business. So because you competing with the government. You remember, we're talking about crowding out. You know, it's called crowding out. You know, it's crowding out the private sector. It's crowding out you. So the immediate impact of this new immediate impact of this news might be felt not in a dramatic collapse or something like that, but in the slowly tightening squeeze on credit for everyday Namibians. You know, it's becoming more expensive for you to get a loan. It's becoming more expensive for you to get a mortgage. Now, think about higher unemployment, the higher unemployment rate, for example, especially among the youth. Now, the government often talks about stimulus and creating jobs. But if a significant portion of its revenue is going to service debt, even if it's domestic debt, that money is not going to build new schools. It's not going to fix, you know, hospitals or medicines in hospitals or fund a new entrepreneurial grant. It is money spent on the past obligations, you know, not future investment. You know, we actually spending money on a past obligations. And that's something we should be worried about, not on future investment. And this situation forces us now to look at our national purse through the lens of frameworks like our own national development plans. These plans are blueprint for growth and prosperity. But can we truly prosper if our financial flexibility is constrained by high level of debt servicing? Can we? Now, the government argues that, well, this is necessary. It's a necessary step, which I believe so. It's a necessary step, a short-term pain, for a long-term stability. Well, and they have a point. They have a point. A good international credit rating is vital. It's really vital. It attracts a foreign investment, you know. But a citizen, okay? I'm not losing sight of that. But as a citizen, we must also ask, are we seeing a clear and a sustainable plan now to get this domestic overdraft under control? Or is this becoming a habit? You know? Are we seeing a really sustainable plan now to actually get this domestic overdraft under control? Are you seeing that, or this is becoming a habit? So maybe let's go to the law. What does the law say? Eh? What does the law say? Maybe let's see what the law says. And are we doing what the law says? Now, we have the Public Finance Management Act. And that one is actually designed to promote responsibility and transparency in managing public funds. Eh? So now when we say it promote, eh? It promote responsibility, okay? And transparency. So when it comes to a public funds. So while, of course, taking, as I said, when you're looking at the law, when taking on debt is not illegal, okay? That's not illegal. The act implies a duty to manage it sustainably, you know, for the long-term health of the nations. That's what it implies. Yes, it's not illegal, but the act has given that responsibility to manage it sustainably for the long-term health of our country. Now, the widening draft overdraft begs the question. Now when we see this widening overdraft, you know, it begs the question: are we walking that fine line responsibly? Are we really walking that fine line responsibly? So that's the question. Now, if we look ahead, you know, it's look as if that we face a delicate balance act. Okay? On one hand, the Eurobond redemption is a sign of fiscal discipline. We have shown that. You know, on the other hand, now, the deepening overdraft and more borrowing from the local market raises a concern about future economic stability. It does raise the question about the future economic stability. So remember, are we walking that fine line responsibly? Yeah? Are we walking that fine line responsibly? It is a concern. It raises a concern about future economic stability. How does the government plan to ensure that this doesn't lead to some kind of rise in inflation or make it harder for Namibian actually to access credit? Remember the crowding out that we talked about, or crowding out for private sectors that we talked about. It could make it harder for Namibian to succeed, to access credit. You understand? So now one possible avenue is to focus on boosting domestic industry and creating definitely job, rather than actually relying on borrowing to kind of fuel the growth. Okay? Encouraging private investment and building a more, yeah, what is the language that they use? Building more a resilient economy, you know? You know, that could be a key, you know, in reducing our reliance on debt. But it's easier said than done, really. It's easier said than done. But also important to understand that every financial move, it comes with trade-off. It does come with trade-offs. So, and we are seeing it now in the widening overdraft and the shrinking balance sheet of the central bank. So we need a lot. I think we need a lot of thoughtful policy making. I think going forward, we need a lot of thoughtful policy making, you know? So, yeah, our time is about 55 minutes past the hour of nine. We have still about 5 minutes. So you're most welcome to come through as well and just, you know, round off. Okay? just round off on any point that we have covered so far. 08-333-66-091. 08-333-66-091.
Omutiha with the Kirokaguna e Matina Omjo. Chikawa Shafasa Nana Longishifa ya Shiwike Moshiwana. Iye moyawo otaingo ngoti samweni. Anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa onjika. Seitha nina omayaguro ni randitoma yue yongeshifa yoyo kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngwe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konara hetatu imu. Ngatu ngatu heari hamano tano oni yaj. Eagle FM.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one folk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Yes, that's right. That is your number one talk radio station. And if you're just joining us, this is Eagle FM, your favorite station in the land of the brave. Yes, well, yeah, from all what we were looking at, it is very clear. It's very clear that Namibia is navigating some tricky waters right now, you know. The deeper overdraft and the reliance on local borrowing to meet the physical obligation, it's a signal potential challenges ahead, according to financial expert and economists. So at the same time, the redemption of the Eurobond shows a commitment, you know, to meeting international debt obligations, which is actually very good for our reputation as a country. And for you and me, I think the key takeaway here is that while paying off debt sounds like a good thing, how we manage the aftermath of that debt, especially how we handle local borrowing and inflation, will be crucial for our future financial stability. That's, I think, the biggest takeaway. And that's where we are, and that's where we the people come in. You come in. We must stay informed. So that's why we do what we do here. Stay informed, ask questions, you know, and hold. And this is my, I told you from the very beginning this year that this is my, will be my responsive, my mission. Keep telling you, hold our leaders accountable, you know? So ask questions, hold our leaders accountable to ensure that the step taken today, you know, the step taken today, don't lead to a bigger problem down the road. So that's what we want you to be a watchdog, you know. You should play the role of a watchdog. So what we want, as I said, we want to hold our leaders accountable to ensure that any decision that are taken today, the steps that are taken today, it doesn't matter who they are, whether they are lawmakers, the president, the ministers, the councillors, you know, those we just voted yesterday. So the step taken today shouldn't lead to a bigger problem down the road. All right. So, yeah, that brings us to the very end of our unpacking the day. Today, the Thursday, the 27th of November. So make sure that you visit the website for local and regional election results. Or what you need, just visit www.localelections.eaglefm.com.na. So then you will be able to, you can go through the local authority results, and then you can also go through the regional result as well. So yeah, and it is a very 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 important, a very nice tool when you go into when you go, for example, into to view the result. When you go, for example, into regional council, you can already see. So you can already be able to see, you know, the results that are coming in, the constituency that, you know, which party has won in that constituency. So it's really giving you don't go anywhere. Go to this website. It gives you already statistic, of by constituency, which party is actually winning by constituency, you know. It's a really, really, a great information that you wouldn't want to go anywhere. You know, it shows you when would be for that region. You know, it tells you how many constituents that already maybe have a number of constituents that's already completed their result, and how far. Is it 29%? Is 69% for Hardap, for Kavango? So it's which one hasn't really posted any result yet. So something that really, 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 really informative, and I encourage you to actually visit that website, www.localelections.eaglefm.com.na. So there will be a lot of updates still coming your way from other programs that are coming, including Kutha Mosha that is coming, that I'm handing over now and crossing over to Wintuk. From us here, from the great region of Oshana, from the mighty region of Oshana, we're saying goodbye for now until probably Guntana Dingi that coming to you later on. So from us, we hand you over to Wintuk. Goodbye. Until tomorrow.